Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come now to the sixth petition, and in a sense it looks fairly straightforward in terms of what it's saying. In a sense, this last petition is more of an emotional cry to God than the other five. It's a cry of a heart that hates the potential for sin. It's an admission to the Lord that we ourselves could never stand up against the powers of evil. But when we look at it more closely, we see that it's one of the hardest petitions to explain. Because we know that God can never tempt us, nor can He Himself be tempted by evil. He's not the author of sin. He didn't bring sin into the world. We did, and we're the ones responsible for that. And so the question is it right for us to ask the Lord this request if we know that God cannot tempt us? Will He actually deliver us from Satan and all kinds of evil when we ask Him to? Well, God's Word does provide the answer for that. On the one hand, we can be assured that our Father is powerful enough to protect us from dangerous situations or circumstances where we could possibly fall into sin. We know, for example, what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So He's powerful in the way that He helps us when we cry out to Him. On the other hand, however, nothing happens to us except by His sovereign will. Whatever temptation comes to us can only be by God's appointment, as He is the one who is in control of our lives and of every situation that we find ourselves in. So we have to pray this prayer because we're sinners. We're bruised and we're battered by a fallen world that continues to bump us. And so we have to ask, God, deliver me from these things. Therefore, we want to consider this afternoon Matthew 6, verse 13, the sixth petition, and looking at it with 2 points. First of all, when we pray this prayer, what we're doing is admitting to the Lord our weakness. We admit that we cannot stand on our own and that we need the Lord's help. Notice that we're to ask that the Lord would not lead us into temptation. That word "into" is significant here. It means into the power of or into the hands of. In other words, we're praying, Father, do not allow us to be given up into the power of temptation and drawn into it. Do not cause us to be led into the hands of its great strength. We're to say this for our own good and for our own protection. It's a safeguard against a cocky attitude or a feeling of false security, as the Scripture does warn us of that. As you know how Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And again, like the prayer, forgive us our debts. It's easy to say these words and not mean them. But they must be sincere. They have to be genuine. Exactly the way that our catechism describes. As you remember the way that Lord's Day 52 begins, it says, we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. That means that we acknowledge the Lord's absolute sovereignty over us. Nothing is outside of His control. For example, we see that in the book of Job. Every calamity that came upon him was brought through the activity of Satan, but Satan could only go so far as the Lord allowed him to. It was not God who tempted Job, even though God was the one who was in control of all things. Furthermore, we have to see our weaknesses. If we recognize them, we will always pray that God in His mercy would be pleased to spare us from temptation. Why are we so weak? Well, the Catechism says it's because of our three sworn enemies. These do not cease from assaulting us. We cannot go into cruise control and say, you know, we don't have to worry about them one day. Just maybe the next day we'll worry about that. But no, they do not cease to assault us. We can never put our life into cruise control. And what are those enemies? Well, the first one that's listed there is the devil. Jesus called him the tempter, the prince of the air. We're never to underestimate his sheer hatred for the things of God. We must beware of his ability to attack us. Because the only thing that he's interested in doing with us is to destroy our happiness and our joy in the Lord. He sees that we've been made children of God, that we're near to him, that our hope is in Jesus Christ, and his desire is always to oppose God and his followers. Congregation, are you aware of what Satan is able to do? He feeds us with jealousy so that we become envious of others. He wants us to be suspicious of each other and to accuse one another. Sometimes he comes as an angel of light and he tries to make sin look right in our eyes, getting us to accept some kind of a double standard for life. Other times he works in our minds and he makes us doubt the grace of God. He's described by our Lord as that strong man. The book of Revelation says he is that great red dragon with his tail that cast down a third of the heavens as he swept by. And therefore we need to be aware of his schemes. We need to pray more earnestly that our God would protect us. God's desire is that we watch and pray and do not enter into temptation. We need to pray, please, Lord, don't put me into a position where we might be enticed by Satan. Please don't allow him to test me, because I know how shrewd and how clever he is, and that I can possibly fail you by falling into sin. His temptations come in 100,000 ways. Therefore, we can never underestimate him. We must never forget how clever he is. Nor should we be ignorant of what he can do to us. Because when we underestimate him, that's when he'll attack us. And he may be successful. Congregation, are you aware of his craftiness? Have you got your armor on? Are you aware of the spiritual battle that we're in? Do you pray that you would be kept from facing him and given the strength to endure him? Because we cannot endure him on our own unless we are helped from above. As Martin Luther so wonderfully described it in that hymn that we sometimes sing around Reformation Day, a mighty fortress. He says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Old words, but powerful and scriptural. The second enemy that is spoken of in the Catechism is the world. The world is fallen and warped by sin. This world operates on beliefs and principles that are opposed to God's will. The world is under the power of Satan, the evil one. God's word says that we're not to love the world or the lusts that are in it. Young people, for you this afternoon, are you aware of that? Are you aware of the world as being the enemy? Young men, are you carefully protecting your eyes from lust? It's our duty to avoid tempting situations. We can't give ourselves into immoderate drinking. We can't go to places of ill repute. We can't have friendships that are going to drag us down. If we put ourselves into situations like that, we cannot sincerely pray this prayer, Lord, bring me out of temptation, because we're dragging ourselves down. There's a story told of a group of men and a minister who were touring the bush of Australia. And they were told of this python that was in the bushes hibernating. It was in the shade. Usually these snakes are asleep until spring. And so in order for them to see the snake squirm a little bit, they began to poke it, tickling it and prodding it a little bit. But they got a little carried away. And this huge snake awoke and started to chase them and could go so fast that they had to run to their vehicle and they shut the door. But that snake had already gotten up onto the running boards of the vehicle. And they were pretty shaken up. They could hardly sleep for days after this, waking up at night in a cold sweat. In the same way, we can't just flirt with the world. If we're around people who put pressure on us to get drunk, we can't help ourselves by going with them. We used that illustration not too long ago about the ear gate, the eye gate, and the mouth gate. How we as Christian people are the city of man's soul, and we need to set guards against these attacks that come from the outside. We have to be careful what we allow ourselves to take in. Thankfully, however, we can resist the world, because the Bible says that he who is in you, that is the Holy Spirit, is greater than he that is in the world. But we can't just flirt with temptation. It won't just bite us. It will devour us. But we also have to resist our third enemy, that enemy that is within. James says, every man is tempted when he is enticed by his own lusts. Really, what he's saying is that there's a Satan within each one of us. We are our own enemies. No one can blame God for their sin and say, God tempts man. And no one can blame the devil for their sin and say, the devil made me do it. To assume that the enemy is only outside is a fatal mistake, because the desires of the flesh are opposed to the desires of the Holy Spirit. How do we fight the flesh? Galatians 5 says that those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And we need to pray that God will help us to crucify the flesh. And so, congregation, I ask you this afternoon, do you recognize your weaknesses? Do you see the sights that dazzle? The tempting sounds do you hear, as that hymn says? Do you see how huge this conflict is that we're in against our sworn enemies? We all have that potential to commit the worst and grievous sins possible. And so we need to watch ourselves. We seriously can't trust ourselves. We have to go to our commanding officer. We have to ask for that equipment to stand our ground. And we're to cry out to him, God, deliver me from these things. There's no way that I can stand a moment on my own. I admit that I am very weak in myself, and I need your grace and your help. So that's the first thing that we must realize. But secondly, we need to ask for deliverance. We ask that he would not allow us to enter into a situation where we might be lured into sin, but sometimes he does allow us to be tempted. He permits Satan to tempt us. He may give that kind of freedom to our adversary. Again, only if the Lord will allow that to happen. And when the Lord allows this to happen, he promises to give us all the power to overcome the temptation. The second half of question and answer 127 says this: Be pleased to preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not succumb in this spiritual warfare, but always offer strong resistance until at last we obtain a complete victory. You see, congregation, sometimes we can't help but being exposed to the attacks of the great enemy. And we ask that we might not be assaulted by him. We seek to avoid situations where this might happen. We guard our hearts. We set a watchman over our eyes, our ears, and our lips. We must always flee to the Lord for strength and not rely on ourselves. But sometimes the Lord allows us to face the enemy, like the character Christian did in that book by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, as he had to face that great dragon, Apollyon. Jesus said we're not to be taken out of the world. We're not to build monasteries and go into hiding. We're in a fallen world. We're going to face spiritual warfare. We're going to go through times where we're heavily tempted by Satan. But we will be given all that we need. God's word says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes we might wonder, what is the purpose of this temptation? What is the purpose that God has for allowing us to be tempted? Why does God sometimes allow his children to be tempted in that way? Well, in many ways, it's an area of mystery. But when we look at the Word of God, we see many things. Sometimes God uses temptation as a way of glorifying his name. Think of the case of Joseph. He resisted the invitations of Potiphar's wife because he was concerned about the glory of God. He responded to her by saying, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord? And God was glorified through that. Other times, God may use temptation as a means of purifying someone. And here the Apostle Peter comes to mind. He gave in to the temptation by denying the Lord, but through God's grace, he was restored and made a better servant. It's therefore possible that temptations have that positive or negative result, and yet the experience of them is never pleasant, and so we need to pray that we'll be spared from them because they're hard to resist. And yet, if we think it is hard, think of those who resisted temptation. Look at our Savior, Jesus Christ. Significant that the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness to be tempted. Yet, though Satan tried and failed in his assault on Christ, God used this occasion and others like it to demonstrate that Christ could not sin. Jesus also went to the cross with Satan attacking him in full force, because here is where the battle had to be either won or lost. But Christ was perfect. He was God. According to the book of Hebrews, he was subjected to the same kind of tests that we're subjected to today. Yet he never fell into sin. As Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, but without sin. He's our great high priest who died for our sins and who knows what it means to be attacked by Satan. He understands what we go through. And we can find great strength in him. We can find that courage to fight against sin when we see how he endured it how he endured temptation. And again, congregation, I repeat that promise that the Lord has given to us. He is not going to let us enter into a temptation that we can't endure. As Peter says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. As Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also provide that way of escape. So how does the Lord do that? How does our Father lead us out of temptation? Well, sometimes He'll lead us out of temptation by calling Satan off, as He did with Job. God knows our limits. He knows what we can handle, and He'll never give us more than we can take. He'll also lead us out of temptation by providing ways of coping. And those ways of coping might be things like a telephone call that we'll receive, or an email that comes our way. It could be God reminding us of the promises that are in His Word. He may remind us of the fact that our Savior is always interceding for us. Another way He leads us out of temptation is by giving us the strength to overcome it. When Jesus was tempted, remember how the angels came to minister to Him afterwards. And the same thing happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. An angel came to strengthen him. God knows how to strengthen us when we resist sin and temptation. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But we also need to defend ourselves. First, we have to remind ourselves of Christ's victory over the devil. As we read from Ephesians 6, it says that we need that helmet of salvation. We need the shield of faith. Christ's victory was complete, so we don't have to be pessimistic. We can rely on the Lord. We also need to rely on the power and strength of the Holy Spirit to resist temptation. We need to pray to the Lord for strength. We also need to go on the offensive, armed with the sword of the Spirit and the belt of truth. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how well He knew the Bible. He knew the Scriptures well. And it was with those Scriptures that He was able to answer Satan for every attack that he brought against Him. We also need to know God's Word well. We need to be familiar with it. We need to memorize it. We need to live out what it says. And that will help us in our fight against the enemy. Congregation, are we serious about this battle? Do we make it a priority to protect ourselves against the assaults of the devil? Are we on guard and ready to fight against the foe? We have to be prepared in that way. The Lord will hear this prayer because He cares for His own, and He will lose no one. He will never allow us to get into a situation that is more than we can handle. Look to Jesus Christ then, and be reminded of His great love. Though He knew that the suffering of the cross was a great burden, and though He asked that the Father would allow that burden to be taken away from Him, if that was possible, Jesus still endured it. Consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself. He's our Savior, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising its shame. And when we realize our weaknesses and confess our need for Him, we will have the victory. Let us then be determined to fight against our sworn enemies, by prayer and through God's word. But let us also be encouraged in the battle, for we don't fight alone. Thankfully, we have the Lord fighting for us. Amen.